Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
I'm Tony Bruschi, and let me ask you, what would you do if the house you called home seemed to know your deepest, darkest fears? I'm not talking about the usual bumps in the night or a shadow in the corner of your eye. No, I'm talking about a house that studies you, learns you, a place that plays with your mind so well, you begin questioning if it's you. Or something much worse. Now imagine being 12 years old, stepping into a beautiful, brand new home with your parents, thinking it's the start of something wonderful, but on the very night you move in, someone or something lets you know you aren't alone. At first, it feels like a visit from a loved one. Grandma's spirit stops by, her presence warm and comforting, opening doors in the night to say hello. But that sweetness doesn't last. The moment you say your goodbyes, it's as if the house itself shifts, waiting in the dark for the next move. And the next visitors aren't quite so friendly. What if years later you're lying in bed only to wake with every hair on your body standing on end because something, no, not someone, something is standing at the foot of your bed, watching? Would you run? Or would you lie there, hoping to survive whatever comes next? What would you do if you heard footsteps not outside but inside the house at night? Footsteps that grow louder as they reach the stairs, climbing with purpose right toward your room. And when they stop just outside your door, you have a choice. Pretend it's all in your head or find out exactly what's on the other side. These are the moments that make you wonder, how much of what we experience can we explain away with logic? And when does that logic start to break down, leaving you face to face with a nightmare you never saw coming? This is Sarah's story, but in a way, it's also all of ours. Because who hasn't at some point questioned what might be lurking in the dark? Let's dig in, shall we? Dear Tony, I guess I should start by saying that my life hasn't exactly been ordinary. Strange things have followed me around ever since I can remember. I never thought of myself as particularly sensitive to the paranormal, but it seems like the paranormal didn't care whether I believed in it or not. It all began when I was just a kid. My parents and I had moved into a beautiful new home, one of those fresh suburban places with a big backyard and a pond. We thought it would be the dream, our new start. But things got weird on the very first night. My grandma had just passed away the same day we moved in. And while brushing my teeth in my new bathroom, the door slowly unlatched and opened. It didn't swing wildly or make any noise, just a gentle, deliberate creak. And you know what? I wasn't scared. I smiled and whispered, "Hi, Grandma." It felt warm, familiar, like she was just checking in. The next night, I was lying in bed, and just as I got comfortable, my bedroom door unlatched the same way. Slowly, opening by about 10 inches. I greeted her again, this time almost expecting it. That became our nightly routine. For weeks, both my bathroom and bedroom doors would open quietly, like clockwork. It became normal, just me and Grandma having those silent conversations at night. It sounds crazy, but I found comfort in it. She had been distant in life because of strokes, so it felt like we were finally making up for lost time. After about a month, I started to feel guilty. I thought maybe I was being selfish by keeping her here. So one night, I told her it was okay to move on, that I'd be okay. I said my goodbyes, and that night, something incredible happened. My bedroom door opened wider than it ever had before, and a soft blue light streamed in. I could feel her presence change. It was lighter, joyful. In my mind, I heard music, and I swear, I got up and danced with her right there in my room. It was beautiful, Tony. It felt like closure. That was the last time I saw her, and the doors stopped opening after that. I thought the strange experiences were over, but boy, was I wrong. Things shifted after that, and not in a good way. The warmth I felt with Grandma's visits was replaced by something colder. It started with the feeling that I wasn't alone at night. I'd wake up from a peaceful sleep only to find myself wide awake, heart racing, knowing something was standing at the foot of my bed. I couldn't see it, but I could feel it. It was tall, dark, and it hated me. I'm not sure why, but the energy was so thick it made my skin crawl. I'd lie there frozen, scared to move a muscle. The only thing I could do was lunge for the light switch and hope I got to it in time. Some nights were worse than others. I'd wake up to see three or four of these swirling black shapes hovering above my bed. They didn't move like people. They twisted and floated, just watching me. One night, one of them swooped down right at my face. I could feel it, Tony, cold and suffocating. I pressed back into my pillow, too terrified to scream. It felt like a game to them, like they were enjoying my fear. The moment I turned the light on, they were gone, leaving me trembling in the dark. During this time, I battled depression. Maybe it was the stress, or maybe these things were feeding off my emotions. I don't know. I left for college a few years later, and the activity seemed to stop. I thought maybe the house would finally go back to normal without me there. But every time I came home during breaks, the darkness would return, as if it had been waiting for me. One summer, I stayed at my parents' house for a week while my fiancé was away. That's when things took a turn for the worst. It was late, around 2 a.m., and I was reading in bed. Suddenly, without warning, I heard something heavy land on the roof. Something that wasn't human. Whatever it was ran across the roof at full speed, its claws scraping against the shingles. The sound stopped right above my head, and then I heard it leap off the roof. But here's the thing, Tony. There were no trees nearby that could have allowed it to climb up or down. And whatever it was way too heavy and fast to be any animal I know of. I sat there in shock, trying to make sense of what had just happened. I told myself it had to be a raccoon, even though I knew deep down it wasn't. I tried to go back to reading, but that's when I heard it. The screen door downstairs opening with a soft creak, followed by the sound of wind chimes. I froze. The door wasn't supposed to open, and then I heard it. The unmistakable sound of heavy footsteps on the carpet, moving through the family room toward the stairs. My heart felt like it would explode. I clutched my phone, ready to call 911, but I was too afraid to move. The steps were slow and deliberate, like someone or something was savoring every step. They reached the stairs, and I heard them stop halfway up, as if they were waiting, listening. I don't know how long I lay there, paralyzed with fear. Minutes felt like hours. Then slowly, the footsteps resumed, moving toward my bedroom door. I squeezed my eyes shut, praying that whatever it was would just go away. I could hear it right outside my door, the soft click of shoes on the hardwood floor. And then, nothing. No sound, no movement, just silence. I lay in that bed for what felt like an eternity, my heart pounding in my chest, listening for any sound, anything that would confirm I wasn't alone. But there was nothing. Just an eerie, suffocating silence. After about 30 minutes, I finally summoned the courage to turn on the lamp. The soft click of the switch felt deafening in the stillness, and as the room flooded with light, I stared at the door, still closed. I kept thinking to myself, did I imagine the whole thing? Could it have been my mind playing tricks on me? But that dread in my gut told me otherwise. Something had been right outside that door, Tony, I know it. The next morning, I scoured the house for any sign of what I'd heard, footprints, disturbed furniture, anything. But there was nothing. No muddy tracks, no screen door ajar, and no sign that anyone or anything had entered the house. Even the family dog, who usually barked at the slightest disturbance, had slept through the night without a peep. It made no sense. I told myself I was overreacting, that it had all been in my head. But I couldn't shake the feeling that something wasn't right. And as the sun went down, that same oppressive weight settled over the house again. The next night was worse. It started with small things, soft taps on the walls, little shuffling sounds outside my door. I tried to ignore it, hoping it would go away. But then I heard it, the sound of the porch door opening again, followed by the slow, deliberate footsteps on the carpet. This time there was no mistaking it. Someone or something was in the house. The footsteps moved through the kitchen, opening and closing cabinets as if they were searching for something. Then they turned and started toward the stairs. I grabbed my phone, but my hands were shaking so badly I couldn't dial. I was trapped in bed, listening as the steps grew closer, each one slower and heavier than the last. They reached the top of the stairs and paused just like the night before. I could hear the faintest sound, metal clicking, like the sound of a gun being loaded. My breath hitched. Whatever this thing was, it wasn't just toying with me. It wanted me to be afraid, and it was working. I don't know how long I lay there listening to the silence outside my door. It was as if they were waiting for me to move, to do something. And then just when I thought I couldn't take it anymore, the door handle began to turn. I bit down on my lip to keep from screaming. The handle jiggled once, twice, and then nothing. It stopped. I waited, expecting the door to burst open at any moment, but it didn't. Whatever was on the other side decided it had had its fun, for now. The next morning, I decided to confide in my parents. I told them everything, from the footsteps to the strange noises to the thing on the roof. I expected them to laugh it off, but my mom's face turned pale. She admitted that she'd heard strange noises at night, too. Footsteps in the hall, drawers opening in the kitchen. And once, even the sound of someone whispering her name when no one was around. My dad tried to brush it off as old house noises, but my mom wasn't convinced. She told me that years ago, when I was a teenager, she'd heard something heavy land on the roof just like I had. She'd always thought it was an animal, but now she wasn't so sure. That's when it hit me, Tony. Whatever this thing was, it had been with us all along, ever since we moved into that house. It had been lurking in the shadows, watching, waiting, and feeding off our fear. And it wasn't going away anytime soon. One of the worst nights came shortly after that conversation with my parents. I'd been reading in bed when I heard the screen door creak open again. This time, the footsteps were heavier, more deliberate. They didn't stop in the kitchen. They came straight up the stairs, fast and purposeful. The door to my room flew open, and I swear to God, Tony, there was no one there. But the room felt different, colder, darker. It was as if the very air had been sucked out of the space. I tried to scream, but no sound came out. I could feel something standing right next to me, breathing down my neck, and then just like that, it was gone. I stayed awake until sunrise that night, too scared to close my eyes. I knew that whatever this thing was, it wasn't done with me, not by a long shot. After that night, I started sleeping with the lights on. It didn't stop the noises, but at least I could see when things started moving around the room. The footsteps came less frequently, but I knew they were still there, just waiting for the right moment to strike. And it's been years since I moved out of my parents' house, but the memories still haunt me. I've tried to rationalize it, to tell myself it was just my imagination running wild. But deep down, I know the truth. That house wasn't just haunted, it was alive. And whatever was inside, it wasn't friendly. So Tony, what do you think? Was it all in my head, or was something darker at play? Sincerely, Jessica. You know, Jessica's story makes you wonder, what exactly was going on in that house? Was it something purely psychological, her brain wired to be hyper-aware of every little sound, a result of childhood experiences that left an imprint too deep to shake? Or was it something more sinister, something that couldn't be seen but only felt, creeping just on the edge of reality? We often brush off stories like Jessica's as active imaginations or the mind playing tricks. After all, humans are excellent at scaring themselves. We evolved that way. Fight or flight, adrenaline kicks in, and suddenly every creak in the floor becomes a threat. But here's the thing. Her parents heard it too. Her mother confessed to hearing the footsteps and the roof thumps years ago. That's where things get interesting. Could shared hallucinations occur in families? Sure. Collective anxiety is a powerful force, but shared experiences like these? That's harder to explain away with psychology alone. The idea of something following a family, lurking silently for years only to resurface at opportune moments, is a terrifying concept. Could it be that the entity was feeding on fear, growing stronger as Jessica's anxiety deepened? Paranormal investigators talk about spirits or even malevolent forces attaching themselves to people or places. They thrive in environments thick with tension, sadness, or fear. Then there's the possibility of the poltergeist theory, unconscious energy that manifests from the individual, especially during times of emotional turmoil. Jessica's teenage depression might have triggered that activity, making the house itself come alive with her unprocessed emotions. It's not as far-fetched as it sounds. There are documented cases where stress and trauma seem to coincide with unexplained activity. Could those footsteps and roof thumps have been manifestations of Jessica's inner turmoil playing out in real time? Or was it the house itself feeding off those emotions and becoming an active entity in her life? What sticks with me the most is the screen door. The way it opened, the footsteps entering like they owned the place, and the eerie feeling that something far worse was about to happen. Something just shy of a home invasion, but far more terrifying because there was no one there. It's one thing to fear an intruder. It's another to face the idea that the intruder isn't human at all. The presence that stopped halfway up the stairs, was it testing Jessica? Seeing how much fear it could wring out of her before it retreated? There's an unsettling intelligence to that behavior. It wasn't just mindless noise or random scares. It was calculated. It knew what her greatest fear was, an intruder breaking in, and used that against her. That's not a typical ghost story. That's something far more personal. The fact that Jessica's fear eased after leaving for college is also telling. Was the entity tied to the house, or was it tied to her emotional state? And more importantly, did it really go away, or did it just go dormant, waiting for the right moment to reappear? What's fascinating, too, is how the family dog, the one being in the house that should have sensed any intruders, slept through it all. Animals are said to be highly sensitive to spiritual activity, but in this case, the dog didn't react. That leaves us with two possibilities. Either Jessica's experiences were internal, or the entity was something beyond what even animals can detect. In the end, this story leaves us asking more questions than it answers. Was Jessica haunted by the house, or was the house haunted by Jessica's fears and emotions? And if it was the house, what happens when the next family moves in? Will the footsteps return? Will the screen door creak open on its own again, inviting something unseen to step inside? Or maybe, just maybe, it's still there, lying in wait, biding its time until someone like Jessica returns. And when that happens, what then? I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. But before you go, ask yourself, if you woke up tonight and heard footsteps, slow, deliberate, just outside your door, would you open it? Or would you wait and see what happens next? Sleep well.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. initial quality study award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. initial quality study award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.